Everyone yells. At times we just keep quiet or we let things simmer. And as we all know, simmering things have a tendency to boil. So when it boils straight into an argument, are you a yeller? Are you a screamer? Do you always have to have the last word? Are you always right? Is there any truth to what is being said in that argument? Is there a way to learn from these arguments? Is there a way to argue constructively? Join me, Alexis, on Living Single in Your City tonight to find out. Stay tuned. Welcome to Living Single in Your City. We are a nightly podcast here at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 7 days a week. We are a company that has a foundation and mission to connect with singles across the globe for networking, real talk sessions, business building, and so much more. We would love to hear from you, our listeners. Please reach out to us if you have an idea, a topic you would wish us to discuss, or if you would like to be a guest on our show. You can reach out to us through Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, or our website at www.livingsingle.org. Once again, www.livingsingle.org. Stay tuned.
Hello, wonderful people. I am Alexis, and tonight I am your host on Living Single in Your City. Tonight's topic is near and dear to my heart because it's all about how to learn from arguments. For our new listeners, welcome. And for those of you who are returning, welcome back. You're probably thinking, Alexis, you're nuts. How do you learn from arguments? I am a firm believer that when our temperament is calm and when we think before we speak. Right? There are plenty of situations where at times we would love to mouth off or we would love to shoot, say what's really on our minds. But because I firmly believe the brain filters before it can come to your mouth, your brain tells you that's not a good idea. However, whenever we're arguing and it's one of those arguments where it's a lot of screaming, a lot of yelling, you're clearly upset, your emotions are tumbled in, you no longer have that filter where things will come flying out of your mouth that sometimes you wish you have said it in a nicer way, or you say things on purpose knowing it's below the belt and it's going to hurt the person you're in an argument with. I'm going to use myself as an example. I live with my younger sister, and there are times where our relationship is peaceful, but there are other times where we get on each other's nerves, a lot of things being said, and we just let them simmer. We simmer. And then on a day where it happens to be a PMS day, or it just happens to be a day where you get out of bed in a bad mood, the slightest thing will set you off, where we will get into this full-blown-out argument where we're screaming, we're fighting, we're saying things we don't mean. At one point, my sister told me years later, right, when we used to argue as teenagers, some things I said really hurt her feelings. And she realized that because I was so angry, I didn't realize what I was saying, But it still hurts her because I actually told my sister I hated her, and sometimes I wish I was an only child. And to my sister, being my younger sister, that really hurts when someone literally looks at you in the eye, even if they're angry, and they're spewing all these hateful words at you, even though you are upset and you're spewing hateful things back. That doesn't mean that your feelings aren't hurt. Because sometimes when my sister is upset at me, believe me, she can say things to really hurt my feelings. So what about you, listeners? When you let things fester or when you get an argument, whether it's an argument with a coworker, whether it's an argument with your sibling, your parents, family members, friends, or even your significant other, what is your style of argument? Everybody has a style of argument. Some people, they like to stay quiet. They don't even say a word. Even when you're screaming at them, even when you're saying all these hateful things, they just sit there and it makes the person who's screaming even madder because that person is not reacting to all the hateful or hurtful things that you're saying, that it makes you crazy because they're not reacting one way or another. They're just sitting there going, okay, I'm not going to choose not to say a thing. Then you have someone like me where if you're going to argue and stuff like that and you're going to scream at me, I'm definitely going to be a screamer right back in your face. And sometimes that can be volatile because when you have two yellers or two screamers, nobody is really listening. You're just screaming just so you can be heard, and you're just screaming and screaming and screaming, and that's no way to argue productively. And I know a lot of people are saying, how do you argue productively? Well, there are some ground rules when it comes to arguments, right? These ground rules are not always going to work because sometimes when you let things fester, when your emotions or depending on the situation, who you're arguing with, they know how to push your buttons. Like for me, my family definitely knows how to push my buttons. They know just what to say and just how to say it to piss me them off. Like my sister, she knows that when I give her a certain look or when my tone of voice is a certain way, do not push me any further. But at times, because she argues or because she's let things simmer too far, she boils over, she pushes those buttons and we get into a screaming match. Believe me, there are some neighbors who actually have said they rarely hear us argue, but when they hear us argue, it gets downright ugly. We have a new caller on the line. Please identify yourself.
Hey, Alexis. How are you doing tonight? This is Tawanda.
Hello. So my first question to you is, do you know what your argument is? Are you a screamer, a yeller, or you just stay quiet and not say a thing, or you just walk away?
Who am I arguing with?
Anybody. Like, it could be a family member, it could be your parents, it can be friends, coworker, anyone.
Oh, well, I'm definitely not arguing with no parents. Oh, no. Really, I'm not really into arguing. I know that I'm the type of person, like with my guy, right? He hates to argue. He hates getting into a disagreement with me because I'm the kill him with kindness type person that I wish you would hit me because I don't know what you mean when you say that, kind of something like that. So that I'm really more diplomatic. I'm professional. I'm definitely not screaming. I'm not going to be out of my character. I'm cool, I'm calm, and I collect it.
Oh, so you're the one that everyone gets even more upset with because when they're screaming and throwing a temper tantrum and stuff, you're just going to sit there and do absolutely nothing, and it drives the person who's upset even worse because their feelings are all in it and they don't understand why you're not reacting.
Exactly. Like, calm down. Are you okay?
See, for me, when I used to lose my temper very easily, only because of the environment I grew up in. Like, my family, oh my God, how they love to push my buttons. Right? I think they purposely push my buttons. So I've gotten a lot better with that, where I just choose not to engage because it's going to bring me no happiness. But for me, my self-argument and when it comes to family members, not my sister, I mean like my aunts and my uncles and my cousins. And my family, it's not about who's right. It doesn't matter who started the argument. But in order for that argument to be won, you have to be the loudest screamer and the longest screamer. Whoever can scream the loudest and last the longest wins the argument, regardless if they are right or not. So can you imagine how long those arguments can last? To the point where by the end of the argument, you don't even understand why you were arguing in the first place. So let's talk about some ground rules that I mentioned to have a constructive argument. Rule number one, when you know an argument is about to happen, count to 10. I know a lot of people are saying, well, an argument is about to happen. Why am I counting to 10? The reason why I would like for you to count to 10 is to help calm you down, not the other person. Because here's the truth of the matter. Remember what I said earlier, when I said my sister told me years later that the things that came flying out of my mouth, even though she knew I was upset and that I didn't mean it and I said I was sorry, it's still stings for her because she still remembers. Even if she knows deep in her heart, I never meant those things, I'm very grateful and happy I have a younger sibling. The fact that I told my sister that I hated her and wished I was an only child years ago still stings her to this day. And I probably said that when I was a teenager. It's been more than 15 years, and it still stings and hurts her feelings. So when you have an argument, counting to 10 helps calm you down so that filter that I mentioned can have a chance to kick in place. Because the last thing you want to do is say something that is going to hurt someone's feelings that could possibly burn a bridge. Because we all argue. We have arguments, and sometimes it's even happened in the workplace. And the last thing you want to do is to say something to your boss or a coworker that could get your butt fired. In a moment of anger or in a moment of intense emotion, you can say something that's totally crossing the line where your job's going like, you know what, you're fired. Then where would you be? So counting to 10. Okay. The second rule I want you to try to follow is listen more than argue, right? Most people, when they are having an argument, there is some truth in what is being said, right? There is a difference between saying something like, I told my sister wishing I was an only child. I did not say that because it's true. I said it because I knew it would hurt her, right? But for some, when you're arguing because of the situation or because you let things fester and fester and fester, the truth comes out in anger because you can't filter. You can't have tact in a situation like that. Sidebar, a situation like this, I had an argument with a family member where it exploded, and she said, I can't be like you. Not everyone is a cold-hearted bitch like you where they can just freeze people out and be perfectly fine. When she said that, it really hurt my feelings and it made me upset. I was upset that she had the nerve to say that to me. However, when I repeated what she said to my sister and to certain family members, they're like, Alexis, you're not upset because of what she said. You're upset because what she said is true. Right? And I had to take a step back, and I was like, what are you guys talking about? And everyone was like, Alexis, you are the most friendly person when you want to be. If you like someone and you guys don't, it's all pin and roses. But if someone does you wrong or someone messes with your sister or someone crosses that line and pisses you the hell off, it's like Antarctica, right? It's colder than freaking North Pole. And you ice people out to the point where you don't talk to them for a year, 2 years, 3 years, and you're perfectly fine. So you're not upset because of what was said. You're upset because there is some truth to it. Now, that's what I mean by listen more than argue. Because when someone starts an argument with you or they're saying something to you, if you listen more than you argue, you might get to hear some gems of truth like I did. I never thought that I iced people out. I never thought that I had the ability to shut people out, nor did I thought that I could be Antarctica with certain people in my life. But when that was said to me and it was pointed out to me, I realized, yes, it is true. There is truth to that, and that's why it stings. Have you ever heard of the saying, the truth hurts? Yeah, it does, because sometimes we don't want to hear the truth, right? Or we don't want to face the truth. So when somebody else says it to us, it stings more. And it's even worse in an argument, because when it's used against us or when it's said in a way that really hurts our feelings are up in it, and the next thing you want to do is snap back, which I'm sad to say I did snap back, because when she said that to me and I was so upset, I snapped back and I said some things that I probably shouldn't have said. And with that, let's go ahead and take our first break. Before the break, I said to listen more than argue, because in some arguments, when people get upset, the truth about what they think or how they feel or how they see you tends to come out. So, Tawanda, I know earlier you mentioned you're not an arguer. You're the kind of person that kills a person with kindness. But have you ever been in a situation where an argument happened and you finally found out how somebody felt about you, where the truth, how they think, how they feel, what they needed to say came out?
Honey, so many times. You know, just like people have said, people tell the truth when they're drunk. You just said something so profound a few minutes ago in reference to the truth hurts, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, I've had a lot of arguments with people where they've been arguing. I'm just kind of like sitting there, and they say certain types of stuff. And I learned a long time ago, Alexis, that Let me see, what's the saying? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, yes, ma'am. And the thing about it is, sometimes people, they get so mad and frustrated, they didn't mean to say it or they didn't mean to do it. And you can't take it back once it's already left your mouth.
See, that also reminds me of what my mother told me as a child. And I didn't understand until I was a lot older and my mom had passed. My mother didn't have a good relationship with her family, right? She didn't get along with her siblings. And her relationship with her mother, my grandmother, was rock bottom, to say the least. So as a child, when I lived with my mother, I was never brought around my family a lot, right? I wasn't like, you know, I didn't get to see my grandmother or my cousins as much as I wanted to. And one day I asked my mom, why did she choose to live quite a ways from her family, right? And this is what my mother said. My mother said, Alexis, when you're older, you'll understand. When you live near people or your family, your mouth is definitely going to get tired. But when you live far away from your family, when you do see them, the only thing that's going to get tired is your feet. Tawanda, do you understand what my mom meant by that?
Tell me.
What my mother meant was the closer you live to your family, the more arguments you have. Hence, your mouth is going to get tired. And if you live away from your family, when you come visit or when they come visit you, it's nice, right? You have peaceful times, no arguments, because it's been such a while since you've seen each other. And the only thing that's going to be tired is your feet because you have to travel to go see them.
Funny.
Get it? Get it? My mother was a very wise woman. I did not understand that until I grew up and I saw the kind of family my family really was. Now I'm kind of thank God that my mother kept me and my sister away from that riffraff when we had somewhat of a normal childhood. Thank God for that. That's all I have to say on that topic. Moving on. The third rule in arguing productively, do not hit under the belt, okay? We all know what people's buttons are, right? Whether it's family members, whether it's significant others, you know which buttons that would definitely make things worse, right? Don't hit that button, because for me, when someone hits the button of my father, right? My father used to be a big button pusher for me, especially when it came from my family, because they always had something negative to say. They like to make a point that my father abandoned me. So they would say something nasty and hit that button, and I would always fall for it, right? And then I end up snapping back and saying some pretty horrible things. I'm sure if you ask my aunt what kind of things that came flying out of my mouth as a teenager, you'll be shocked. I'm shocked to this day that I said certain things. But don't hit below the belt, because it's not worth it, right? Like Tawanda said, once said, you can't take it back. You can say it in the moment and you feel better because you see this hurt look on the person's face, or you see this look of shock on that person's face, and it makes you feel better about yourself because you're thinking, yes, I'm winning this argument. I'm just going to hammer it home. I'm going to hit them below the belt and win this argument. Okay, fine. You win this argument. And when the dust settles, what happens if that person is so severely hurt? They don't want to talk to you. They don't want to deal with you, right? That's exactly what happened with me and my cousin when we had that argument where she called me a cold, heartless bitch. I don't remember what I said to her, but I do know that what I said to her was true, but I said it in a hateful way where when I repeated what I said to my sister goes, I think you crossed the line. right? My sister's like, you crossed the line. I understand why you would say that, but you crossed the line. You shouldn't have said it in the way that you said it, because now she's pissed, right? So the both of us were so pissed that I did not talk to my cousin for 2 years. Believe it or not, yep. We had that argument, and then 2 years later, she reached out to me because of the coronavirus. Had the coronavirus not happened, I don't think she would have reached out to me, and I definitely wouldn't have reached out to her. So try not to hit below the belt. And the fourth is not exactly arguing productively, but it will help you move on from the argument. We all argue for various reasons, and things are always said, right? Whenever the dust settles, feelings are still very raw. Sometimes the argument is so bad that you are emotionally hurt, right? Hopefully you weren't physically hurt, but you're emotionally hurt, right? This person that you're in a relationship with, or you're related to, or you've been friends with, things were said, and things are definitely damaged. Take the time to give some space. Wait for things to cool down, and this rule should apply to all. Bury the hatchet when you're ready. Talk about the argument constructively, right? Apologize if things were below the belt. Apologize for what you said. Give the person a chance to explain why they said what they said. Give you a chance, and then say what you need to say, and then bury the hatchet. A lot of times we hold onto grudges. We don't bury the hatchet when it comes to arguments, right? And when we hold onto these arguments, even if we move on, even if the relationship semi repairs itself, if we don't bury this hatchet, it's going to rear its ugly head again. Like the next time you have an argument, or the next time you get upset at each other, you're going to be like, remember when back 5 years ago, and you did this to me, and you said that to me, and she did this. It's not going to be conducive for your relationship, right? There's no point in bringing it up. All it's going to do is reopen old scars, and then you're going to be back at square one, angry at each other. So the question I want you to think about before we go on break is it worth it? Is it worth holding on to this grudge, being angry at this person where you shut them out of your life, or you choose not to have anything to do with them, let life move on, and then 10 years later realize you missed out on 10 years. So with that, let's take a break.
Hi, this is Alexis with some single news. Former tennis player Serena Williams is passing down her love of tennis to her daughter, Alexis. She enrolled the three-year-old in some lessons and announced it on Instagram to her followers. Don't even start with me because I'm not giving her tennis lessons. There is one little catch. The coach doesn't know she is training the daughter of a 23-time Grand Slam single champion. The lady has no idea that it's my daughter, so we'll see how that goes. I'm not a pushy mom, but I know how I like technique, so I want to make sure she's good at teaching Olympia some techniques. Back to the show.
I just realized her daughter shares my name. That is so cool. Alexis and Alexis.
I was checking that out.
So, these four rules should always be in the back of your mind when you have an argument. Because I am now going to tell you how you can learn from arguments and how it will help you grow as a person. I always grow from my arguments, only because compared to how I used to argue as a teenager to how I argue now, I definitely see a difference. I try not to hit below the belt. I don't cry as easily as I used to, because I used to be very cryy when I was a teenager. Whenever somebody ever said anything mean to me, I'd cry, right? And it used to drive my aunt nuts because she is not a toddler like my mother was. My mother definitely would have comforted me. My aunt basically would just look at me and say, seriously, you're crying over that? My aunt definitely taught me how to be stronger where I don't cry over every little thing. But you definitely can learn from arguments, because here's the truth. We argue with the people we love the most, whether we choose to admit it or not. Because if we really didn't give a crap about the person, why bother to argue, right? If you didn't care about the person or you didn't care about the situation, you're not going to argue. It's the fact of life. In order for you to do something, in order for you to talk to someone or love someone, there has to be something in it for you. So for me, I'm not going to argue with every damn person that comes into my life. It's just not worth it to me. The people that I argue the most with and the people that gets me riled up the most are the people who I love the most. My sister, most definitely, right? We argue like cats and dogs, sidebar. There was a point in our life where we were teenagers and my sister and I were at each other's throats for weeks. We could not get along. We bickered. We fought. And my aunt finally had enough. Tawanda, you want to know how she got us to resolve our argument?
How?
She came home at 11:30 at night. It was 30-something degrees outside, and she kicked us out of the house. She kicked us out of the house.
Oh, what?
The front porch. Yeah, she kicked us out of the house to the front porch without our coats, without scarves or shoes or anything like that. She goes, it's cold outside, so I suggest you figure out how to get along with each other because you're not coming back in this damn house until you learn how to get along like sisters. Yep.
Wow.
So damn cold outside. I did not even want to argue with my sister. I told my sister, fine, I'm sorry. And my sister said, I'm sorry. I was like, okay, let's hug it out so we can go inside because I'm cold. Yep.
I know.
That
that's
was
right.
How my...
that was smart.
I was just trying to see. See, here's the thing that arguing, I believe, taught my aunt how to learn, too. My aunt has a very complicated relationship with her siblings. So I think deep in her heart, when she sees that her siblings argue and she argues with her siblings, she does not want that for me and my sister. So while my aunt learned from the arguments that she has with her siblings, from the complicated relationship she had with them, my aunt raised me and my sister to be super close. Because how my aunt likes to put it is, you two are all each other has. Yes, you have a grandma. Yes, you have aunts and uncles and you have cousins. But as for siblings and parents, you don't have any siblings. Other than each, you don't have any parents. So you two only have each other. So she raised us to be super close in a way where, yes, we are allowed to argue, but no, we're not allowed to hold grudges and basically try to kill each other. Not literally, but you know what I mean. Because her method has always been, you want to go back outside in the middle of dead winter? No, thank you. It is cold. You try going outside at 11:30 at night with no shoes, no socks, no sweater, no coat, no nothing, and in a nightdress, and your aunt saying you're not coming back into this damn house until you two learn how to get along. Trust me, when it's that cold, you're going to forget all about your damn argument. You're going to say, I'm sorry, just as you get back inside.
Talk about creative ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what about you, Tawanda? What, think back to the arguments that you have had or people have had with you. Was there anything valuable from them that you learned?
You know, one thing, honestly speaking, I've been disappointed with people, but I probably can count really the arguments that I've really had because that's just never really been my thing. You know, I value people and things in life and love, family and friendships so much. Like you were talking about with your sister, like I've had situations where like my siblings, they've gotten on my nerves, they disappointed me, I might have told them off because I'm just kind of going to tell you off and dismiss you. I'm definitely not arguing. And like some people hold grudges. Like my sister, she holds a grudge. And that really bothers me. So what I've really learned in life, Alexis, honestly, is number one, be careful how you treat people. Two, don't be afraid to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. And three, learn to forgive and don't hold grudges. Life is too short. You know what I'm saying? Just like you said earlier, like we may not always agree or get along, but I'm all about communication and seeing what we can do to work it out. I like love and I like peace. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at with that.
See, it's funny that you mentioned, that I mentioned trying to bury the hatchet, and you said not to hold on grudges. Because you want to know what the longest argument in my family is? I have an auntie in the nursing home, and she likes to lord it over her younger siblings, my mother included, that she took care of them when they were children in Vietnam, how she worked as a tailor to take care of them, how she paid the bills, how she did everything for them. And they always get into an argument. You want to know how old that argument is? They came to this country before I was born. I'm 34 years old, and they still have that damn argument. Every time they make each other mad, that argument gets brought up, and it turns into a screaming match. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, come on, people. It's been 34 freaking years. Let it go. It's probably been longer than 34 freaking years because I'm sure that damn argument happened before I arrived on this earth. But come on. It's been 34 freaking years, and you still can't let it go? Really? You're going to have to bring it up every single time one of your siblings get upset with you. And with that, let's take our final break, and we'll come back for final thoughts. I noticed sometimes when you let things fester, right, you're going to argue over the stupidest little thing because that's the trigger. I'll give you a prime example. I called the aunt who raised me to tell her that I called her sister my auntie in the nursing home because I know to the aunt who raised me it's very important that I keep in contact with my aunt in the nursing home. You want to know how I found out the two siblings are at each other's throats? My aunt who raised me literally told me to tell my auntie in the nursing home, you can tell her I'm never coming to see her again. She could stay in there and dive all by her damn self. She actually said that to me over the phone. And I'm on the phone all quiet, and I'm like, I'm not getting involved in the middle of this argument. I'll just tell her you said hi and you won't be in to see her, right? So then, of course, I found out the whole reason behind the argument. And it's the stupidest little thing. Apparently, tomatoes was put in eggs, and the one in the nursing home doesn't want tomatoes in her eggs. Can you believe an argument like that, like tomatoes in eggs causes an argument like that? Isn't that stupid? You're really going to argue with me because I forgot and put
tomatoes in your egg. And the aunt who raised me likes to make this comment, I don't know why you're complaining. You've been eating it all your life, so I don't know why today is it's a problem. So apparently there's something underlying there that has been simmering for a while, and it was the tomatoes and the eggs that broke the camel's back. So in conclusion, we all need to learn from our arguments. It teaches us about ourselves. Because when I was a teenager, I used to be that person who would hit below the belt. I would say really nasty and hurtful things only because I knew it would do damage to the other person and I had to win. I had to win at all costs. And that is a very ugly side of me, right? Now that I'm 34, I can't say that I'm perfect and there aren't times where I will hit below the belt, but there are times now where I will definitely choose not to say anything than for me to say something out of turn. Because the most contentious relationship I have is with the auntie who raised me. She and I are too similar for our own good, so she and I butt heads a lot. Trust me, there are a lot of things that I would love to mouth off to her about. But I'm 34 years old, and I am not afraid to admit I'm not trying to die. Because if I even open my mouth to say half of what I would like to say, I would never finish because she would put me 6 feet under the ground and then bring me back to life just to murder me again. But regardless, the intent of this topic is to help you learn from your arguments, to better yourself so you can grow into a better you. So the next time that you get into an argument, hopefully words can be exchanged, but nothing damaging to the point where you lose a family member for a while, you're not in a relationship, and or you don't get fired. Any closing words, Tawanda?
Well, you know, first of all, I always love doing shows with you because you're honest and you're transparent, and it's a healing opportunity. When I saw that you were talking about this topic, I'm like, what does she have up her sleeve? Well, you know, I receive it. I agree with you. It's really encouraging. I'm going to definitely share this show with many people that I know needs it, and it just really reminds me to stay grounded. So I just want to say I appreciate this topic tonight,
always. And with that, join us tomorrow on a brand new topic.
Thank you for tuning in to Living Single in Your City. We hope you enjoyed tonight's topic. Please reach out to us through Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, or at our website at www.livingsingle.org. Once again, www.livingsingle.org. While you're at the website, please do not forget to subscribe for a free newsletter. Until next time.